AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic News, Media
News, I'm Jim Ryan. Israeli lawmakers have approved a key part of a plan to overhaul the country's justice system. The vote follows months of nationwide protests against the proposal. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is on trial for alleged corruption. He was in parliament for that vote. 40 million Americans are under heat alerts this morning. The blistering temperatures are now spreading into the Midwest and Great Plains, says ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Record heat also gripping Europe, fueling wildfires. A record 19,000 tourists have been forced to flee the Greek island of Rhodes, escaping by plane or boat. And today, new evacuations on the island of Corfu.
We have never been so scared my entire life.
The Biden administration has set a midday deadline for Texas officials to respond to an order to remove the 1,000-foot string of buoys intended to keep migrants from swimming into the U.S. illegally, suggesting the device violates a 70-year-old treaty between the two countries. This is ABC News. The U.S. soldier who ran into North Korea last week is the topic of talks between the United Nations and Pyongyang. Army Private Travis King disappeared after bolting across the border while on a tour of the demilitarized zone. In northeast China, a school gymnasium roof collapsed during girls' volleyball practice. 11 people were killed, many of them children. The hype over the weekend double feature Barbenheimer worked.
This is the best day ever.
It is the best.
The biggest opening of the year. Warner Brothers Barbie topped the weekend North American movie box office. $155 million in ticket sales from over 4,200 locations, surpassing the Super Mario Brothers movie and every Marvel movie this year, breaking the first weekend record for a film directed by a woman, Greta Gerwig.
This is the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world.
Universal's Oppenheimer beat meeting expectations, $80.5 million from over 3,600 theaters.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
For Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. One person is hurt after a crash on Highway 8 near Deer Lake, or east of St. Croix Falls, yesterday afternoon. The State Patrol said that there was a two-vehicle crash that resulted in one person being flown to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. First responders had to cut the injured person out of their vehicle. Highway 8 was closed for about an hour and a half in both directions while crews worked to free the driver. The National Weather Service says temperatures this week will be well into the 80s, with many places into the 90s as a heat wave settles in. Thursday is expected to be the hottest day in the area. Today, most places will stay in the 80s. In addition, our entire listening area is in an air quality advisory due to Canadian wildfire smoke through noon tomorrow. The air is unhealthy to breathe, especially for those with medical conditions as well as children. It's also expected that air quality will be an issue later in the week as temperatures rise across the area. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says.
We're good.
Doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts, it has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow. A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Morning, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. Was that a reference to Roger McGuinn, Chestnut Mare? I don't know. That's been debated for almost 50 years now. That song came out back in 1975. 68 degrees in Eau Claire right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Talking about several different topics today. Just before the break, we were discussing how Republicans have flipped America's state Supreme Courts. I want to give you just a little bit more of this before we discuss the top 10 U.S. cities for retirees. Of those 10 cities, how many do you think are in Wisconsin? I'll tell you in just a minute, but I want to get back to a little bit more of this about how Republicans have flipped America's state Supreme Courts, especially since next week our state Supreme Court is going to be flipping.
But this time from a more conservative court to a more liberal court. And I left off here in this piece where it says what's underway now is part of a long-term project by conservatives to transform state courts dating back to the 1980s. And efforts such as Republican strategist Karl Rove's campaign to unseat liberals in Texas. It was supercharged by an Iowa campaign in 2010 to remove three justices who overturned a ban on same-sex marriage. That election, quote, changed the dynamic. It opened the court up as a site for political gain, said Rachel Payne Caulfield, a professor at Drake University, quote, In Iowa, they've really done a good job of pinpointing specific changes that very few people would pay attention to, but will be very effective, end quote. After the changes to the state's nominating commission, there's no question that the direction of the court has shifted. It's a much more conservative court, Caulfield added. That's true nationwide, too. In 1980, just 30% of state high court justices in the United States were Republican, according to data compiled by Stanford researcher Brett Oliver Parker and shared with the Center for Public Integrity. The analysis excludes justices whose party could not be determined, but keeps those who are independents. The same data shows that by 2013, that figure crossed 50%. This year, data from the progressive legal organization Alliance for Justice shows over 60% of state high court justices are Republican. So that's double the amount, double the number. And that is sharply out of step with the country's political leanings. Roughly 30% of Americans told pollsters this year that they consider themselves Republican, with independents and Democrats accounting for the rest. Quote, all the energy on this issue is on the right, said law professor Brian Fitzpatrick of Vanderbilt University. He points to data that indicates attorneys lean left. Lawyers play a key role in many states where commissions nominate judicial candidates. It's the Republicans that are not happy with the status quo, he said. In the states examined by Public Integrity, where there has been turnover on the bench, the courts added conservatives or replaced Republican moderates with more right-wing justices. Politicians have come to regard courts less as a check on power than a part of the state's governing coalition, academics and activists say. In two states, more than ideology binds judges to politicians, Ohio Supreme Court Justice Pat DeWine is the son of Republican Governor Mike DeWine. And North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Phil Berger Jr. is the son of the state's most powerful Republican politician, State Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. The decisions made by justices shape the lives of residents in direct, dramatic fashion. In Arizona, the high court stripped in-state tuition for more than 2,000 students in DACA, the program that protects people brought to the country as children from deportation. In Iowa, the court ruled that pretext stops by police, including those based partly on race, were legal in some circumstances, and that the justices lacked the authority to order regulation of the harmful nitrates flowing into Iowa rivers and fouling drinking water. And this spring in North Carolina, a fresh Republican majority took the highly unusual step of rehearing two politically charged cases decided the previous term. The state's Supreme Court also overturned a lower court ruling that had restored the voting rights of tens of thousands of people with felonies. For those who registered and voted after the lower court's ruling, the thought of losing the franchise was painful. It's like they gave us a taste and then they snatch it back, said Anton Sluder, 31 years old, who lives in Western North Carolina. Around the nation, the stakes are high. State Supreme Court justices, said Jake Falaschini of Alliance for Justice, are the most important political actors in this country that no one's ever heard of. States have four basic methods of selecting judges: appointment by a governor or legislature, partisan elections, nonpartisan elections, and nominating commissions that recommend a slate of candidates elected officials must pick from, often dubbed merit selection. The patchwork emerged out of different moments in American history. At the country's founding, politicians appointed many judges. Then in the early 1800s, states adopted elections to empower independent judiciaries. Then in the mid-20th century, nonpartisan elections swept across the country, an attempt to sever the connection between political machines and judges. Then in later decades, nominating commissions became a popular method of injecting the process with transparency and legal expertise. Herbert Kritzer, an emeritus professor at the University of Minnesota, has studied states that changed their method of judicial selection. In the roughly 20 years before 2000, the dominant motivation was more good government, legal professionalism, etc. Post 2000, it was very, very heavily policy political, he said. Academic research has demolished the perception that judges stand apart from politics. Legal scholars Michael Kang and Joanna Shepherd have consistently found that judges voting in cases tends to favor the interests of their campaign contributors in a predictable and statistically meaningful way, as they wrote in one paper. Is that the way we want it? I don't know if that's what's best for the nation or individual states. Just a little bit more from this piece in USA Today. Their work has documented that judges favor their own parties when ruling on election cases, and that campaign contributions from the Republican Party and its allies are associated with an increased likelihood Republican elected judges will vote in favor of their party's interests. Their research also found that judges who receive contributions from business groups are more likely to favor business interests on the bench. Judges respond to incentives, and a lot of those incentives are financial ones, Kang said in an interview. The money does matter. Or as former West Virginia Supreme Court Justice Richard Neely said in 2006, quote, "It's very hard not to dance with the one who brung you," end quote. Is that a good thing for our state Supreme Court justices to be so closely associated with politicians and political parties? What do you think? If you have an opinion, feel free to give me a call. 715-388-7155 is the number. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
ha, ha, ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, lots of sunshine. High temperatures reach up to 87. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 90. Mid-90s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Zeppelin, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock, Monday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I want to run some questions by my producer, Aaron. Let me ask you this, buddy. Can you guess? Well, first of all, let me tell you, we're going to talk about the top 10 U.S. cities for retirees. And number one is not in Florida, but five of the top 10 cities are in the same state. Can you guess? Do you want to take a guess at which state has five of the top 10 cities to retire in on the list here? This is from from U.S. News and World Report. You want to take a guess?
I really don't know. I'm going to guess something that I don't think it is, but it'd be cool if it was, and say Wisconsin.
That would be cool. And personally, I agree with you that Wisconsin would be a great place to retire in. I'd love to retire in Madison or Milwaukee and just hang out here. Maybe take a couple of months off and head south somewhere. But yeah, I think especially in the summertime and even in the spring and fall, there's no place better to be than Wisconsin. But I do have sad news for you. Wisconsin is not on this list of top 10 U.S. cities for retirees. In fact, there are only three states on this list. One state has five of the cities. One state has four of the cities. And then there's another state, which is actually a Midwest Great Lakes state. That's not Wisconsin. You want to guess which one?
Is it not Florida? Or
you weren't listening to my question, but that's okay. I'm saying there is one state on this list of 10. And as I mentioned, there's only three states on the list total. But one of the states is in the Midwest and is a Great Lakes state. You want to take another stab at it?
Is it Michigan?
As a matter of fact, it is Michigan. Can you guess which city in Michigan would be on the top 10 list of U.S. cities for retirees?
Of that, I don't know. I honestly don't know that many cities in Michigan.
Yeah, well, it probably wouldn't be Detroit, I would guess.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but it is Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor, Michigan, on this list of the 10 best places to retire, comes in at number 8. Do you want to guess which state has the number 1 city?
Colorado?
Not Colorado. In fact, the state that's listed number 1, or I should say 5 of these top 10 cities are in this state. It's Pennsylvania, believe it or not. There's a city in Pennsylvania called Lancaster, and that evidently is the number 1 place, according to U.S. News and World Report, their latest survey or study, the number 1 place to retire, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And as I mentioned, there's only 3 states on this list, Pennsylvania, and what do you think the other 2 are? Well, we mentioned Michigan, and then, of course, the other state would be Florida, since so many people retire there, although Florida seems less attractive these days with a pretty controversial governor running that state, doing a lot of things that retirees don't like. So I'll give you this list. Are you ready? Starts with number 10. Reading, Pennsylvania is the number 10 place for retirees. Allentown, Pennsylvania is number 9. Ann Arbor, Michigan, as we mentioned, comes in at number 8. And then at number 7 is Daytona Beach, Florida. Number 6 is Naples, Florida. And then Pennsylvania hits again with York, Pennsylvania. Tampa, Florida comes in at number 4. Number 3 is Pensacola, Florida. Number 2 is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And number 1 is Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's right. Pennsylvania has 5 of the top 10 cities to retire in, according to U.S. News and World Report. Florida has 4 of those cities, and then Michigan comes in with 1. I'm surprised that Wisconsin isn't even on the list, but maybe not. It's they measure several different qualities of life or things which affect your life. In these studies, they come out with a different list every year. And the cities kind of move around on that list, but many times it's the same cities as the year before. So if you're thinking about retiring and you want a great place to do it, you might want to consider Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I don't know if I would, but anyway, 28 minutes after 9 o'clock, let's take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. I used to be a rolling stone, you know. If a cause is right, I'd leave. To find an answer on the road. I used to be a heart beating for someone, but the times have changed. The less I say, the more my work gets done.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Israeli lawmakers have approved a key part of a plan to overhaul the country's justice system. The vote follows months of nationwide protests against the proposal. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is on trial for alleged corruption. He was in parliament for that vote. 40 million Americans are under heat alerts this morning. The blistering temperatures are now spreading into the Midwest and Great Plains, says ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Record heat also gripping Europe, fueling wildfires. A record 19,000 tourists have been forced to flee the Greek island of Rhodes, escaping by plane or boat. And today, new evacuations on the island of Corfu.
We have never been so scared my entire life.
The Biden administration has set a midday deadline for Texas officials to respond to an order to remove the 1,000-foot string of buoys intended to keep migrants from swimming into the U.S. illegally, suggesting the device violates a 70-year-old treaty between the two countries. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. One person is hurt after a crash on Highway 8 near Deer Lake, or east of St. Croix Falls, yesterday afternoon. The State Patrol said that there was a two-vehicle crash that resulted in one person being flown to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. First responders had to cut the injured person out of their vehicle. Highway 8 was closed for about an hour and a half in both directions while crews worked to free the driver. The National Weather Service says temperatures this week will be well into the 80s, with many places into the 90s as a heat wave settles in. Thursday is expected to be the hottest day in the area. Today, most places will stay in the 80s. In addition, our entire listening area is in an air quality advisory due to Canadian wildfire smoke through noon tomorrow. The air is unhealthy to breathe, especially for those with medical conditions as well as children. It's also expected that air quality will be an issue later in the week as temperatures rise across the area. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately, helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on, on, on.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means and just won't let you be.
You meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doodah man once told me you got to pay your hand.
cards ain't worth a damn if you don't lay them down.
Yeah, yes. Cards ain't worth a damn if you don't lay them down. 9:34 right now, almost 9:35. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 70 degrees in La Crosse right now. It is 67 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing the top 10 cities for retirees in the United States, according to U.S. News and World Report. They publish that list every year. And they factor in several different things when they're trying to come up with that list. But as we mentioned, there are four cities from Florida on that list. And we also mentioned that the number of Florida cities may continue to dwindle because of that governor they have down there. And in case you hadn't heard, he's doubling down on his new education policies regarding slavery. Have you heard this story yet? Evidently in Florida, they're going to change the way that slavery or the subject of slavery is taught in schools, pointing out, or at least making up the story, that some of what slaves were able to learn was kind of like a jobs training program. It was beneficial to them in some way. That's right. You heard me right. And of course, there's a big backlash to this supposedly education. This headline from the Raw story says, "There's nothing worse. A black Republican strategist whacks DeSantis over slavery claims." This was just published a few minutes ago, actually, by Matthew Chapman on Raw Story. And there's, of course, a picture of the governor just under the headline. And the caption on the picture says, "Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been an outspoken critic of Bud Light, but he is scheduled to benefit from a fundraiser co-hosted by a lobbyist for Bud Light's parent company." Now, how would the MAGA crowd feel about that? Evidently, those who want to make America great again hate Bud Light these days, because Bud Light acknowledged a transsexual person and sent them a six-pack of beer. And of course, that was too much for many MAGA people to absorb. And they went on a big boycott and said, "No more Bud Light." Anyway, I'll give you a little bit of the story from the Raw story. It says, "Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's presidential campaign has been disrupted again by outrage over his state's adoption of new education standards teaching children that black people learned valuable skills from their bondage in slavery, a claim the governor swiftly doubled down on, despite some commentators pointing out that many of the examples the Florida Department of Education provided were historically inaccurate." Speaking to CNN on Monday, that's today, Joe Pinion, a black Republican strategist and former candidate for Senate in New York, tore into DeSantis's bad judgment and bad read of history. Quote, "I was struck really by Ron DeSantis doubling down on this," said anchor Erica Hill. "You know, these are the standards. This is the history. Hey, you could be a blacksmith and you could go use that somewhere." It is remarkable. And I think former Congressman Will Hurd perhaps put it really well when he said in a tweet, basically saying, "I can't believe I have to say this, but slavery wasn't a jobs program that taught beneficial skills. It was literally dehumanizing and subjugated people as property, because they lacked any rights or freedoms." When you look at this, Joe, especially as a Republican strategist, when you look at this, how is that this is where Ron DeSantis is going? He is doubling down on this, and there is this push that somehow this is a more accurate view, accurate telling of U.S. history, end quote. So here's where the guest chimes in. Mr. Pinion says, "Well, look, the only thing slavery taught anyone is that there are no limits to the brutality that lurks in the hearts of man. And the only thing that those comments teach us is that in many ways, the vestiges of that brutality still exists. There's nothing worse than trying to tell the people that are descendants of such brutal subjugation that somehow there were some lessons learned along the way. It's a sad day, end quote. And that is a Republican talking, a Republican strategist. A bigger problem, Pinion continued, is that all of this drama distracts from one of the biggest issues facing Black Americans, which is that they are being shut out of the educational system, from majority Black schools struggling to a high-profile incident at Texas A&M University, where the president was forced to resign after interfering in the hiring of a Black journalist to a professorship. Quote, "It's a broader issue that Black professors have struggled to get tenureship at many institutions," said Pinion. "Issue by issue, I think the actual issues confronting Black people in many ways on a day-to-day basis get lost because of the insanity on the far fringes. When in reality, you're looking at California, where we have over 70% of juniors who are not reading at proficient levels. In Florida, you see those numbers much the same way for Black students. So those are the real issues. Those are the real stakes, the civil rights issue of our time. And we have people trying to relitigate the values of the civil rights movement in the first place," end quote. So not all Republicans agree with Governor DeSantis, Florida's new education policy of teaching that there were benefits for the people that were enslaved, that they were learning job skills that they could use elsewhere. I don't know about that. 9:41 right now. Another story I wanted to get to was from another Republican insider who is warning us of the dangers of a possible Trump second term. This is from The Guardian, and this is about a new book called Blowback by Miles Taylor, who a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, published an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times with the headline, "I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration." This was posted yesterday afternoon, and it's actually in the book review section of the Guardian. Says here, Blowback Review, Miles Taylor on the dangers of a second Trump term. The aide, who was anonymous, writes under his own name with an urgency the New York Times and others should note. This is by Charles Kaiser. Says here, Miles Taylor is a former chief of staff of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security who catapulted himself to nameless fame in the fall of 2018. When he published an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times under this headline, "I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration." Taylor described himself then as one of many senior officials working diligently from within to frustrate parts of Trump's agenda and his worst inclinations. To be clear, and this is a quote from that anonymous op-ed from 2018, "To be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed. But we believe our first duty is to this country, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic." Okay, so that's only a year and a half into Trump's presidency that this member of the Republican team is writing this. That article set off a firestorm, Trump and his allies demanding to know the identity of this traitor, while some on the left questioned the morality of continuing to work for an administration after you've realized it's a clear and present danger to the health of this country. In his new book, Taylor reveals that debate was as vivid inside him as it was within the rest of the body politic. He has now concluded that anonymity, which he carried into his first book called A Warning, was a mistake. He says now it was a gift to authoritarians. They thrive on fear and the suppression of dissent, end quote. The subtitle of his new book is a warning to save democracy from the next Trump. And there is certainly plenty of that in its 300 plus pages, but there is also lots about Taylor's mentally, emotionally, and physically painful journey to the truth, which included the breakup of his marriage, bouts of alcoholism and prescription drug abuse. Even after the scores of Trump books which have assaulted our bookshelves, Taylor still manages to reveal a few fresh moments of astonishing evil or narrow escapes from Armageddon. These include Trump's musing to his then chief of staff, John Kelly, quote, that he badly wanted to strike North Korea with a nuclear weapon. Also, the president talking about his daughter Ivanka's breasts, her backside, and what it might be like to have sex with her. Also, Stephen Miller's eagerness to eliminate the judiciary branch of the government. Yes, sir, a country without judges would help, is the quote. Also, Miller's equal affection for genocide, revealed when he interrogated the commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard about why he couldn't use a drone with a missile to obliterate a boat full of immigrants in international waters. International law would be a problem, the commandant explained. The substantive part of Taylor's book is devoted to waking up Americans to the very real dangers of a second Trump presidency, including plans to, quote, manipulate the justice system to cover up corruption, punish political enemies, and reshape U.S. courts, end quote. Taylor reminds us once again of how completely the Republican Party has been corrupted by MAGA ideology, with powerful allies of the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy like Marjorie Taylor Greene calling for defunding the FBI, while the Texas Senator Ted Cruz wants a complete house cleaning at the same agency. Quote, they will be unconstrained and untethered, the former Homeland Security General Counsel John Mitnick says. What little restraint was exercised in terms of respecting the rule of law will be gone in a second Trump presidency. Like many other George W. Bush Republicans, Taylor is weakest when he argues that Trump is an outlier to ideals long espoused by conservatives, free minds, free markets, and free people. This ignores the party's historical affection for racism and homophobia, which dates at least to Richard Nixon's Southern strategy in 1968, or Bush's advocacy for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. I've got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
There's a place up ahead and I'm going just as fast as my feet.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime highs approaching 86. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 90 tomorrow. Mainly clear skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 71.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Got a job at a local factory. Sent money back home to her family. She said, "This is where I belong. This is my home."
This Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:51 right now on this Monday morning. And just before the break, we were discussing this warning from a Trump insider that a second Trump presidency, a second term, would be dangerous for our democracy, for our nation. And this is the same gentleman who wrote the anonymous op-ed in the New York Times back in 2018, warning us then, a year and a half into Trump's presidency, about the crazy things that were going on in the White House at that time. This new book, which is by the gentleman, the author, by the way, is Miles Taylor. The book is called Blowback, and the subtitle of the new book, A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump, 300 pages, over 300 pages. And although he does argue that Trump could be dangerous, not only to this nation, but democracy in general, he still remains a Republican and tries to defend many Republican policies. Where we left off here, it says, like many other George W. Bush Republicans, Miles Taylor is weakest when he argues that Trump is an outlier to ideals long espoused by conservatives such as free minds, free markets, and free people. This ignores the party's historical affection for racism and homophobia, which dates at least to Richard Nixon's Southern strategy in 1968, or Bush's advocacy for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, which was a cornerstone of his reelection campaign in 2004. When Taylor casually accuses Barack Obama of backing away from America's allies and bowing down to its adversaries, we are reminded the author is indeed an old-fashioned Republican. But his book is still important, this book called Blowback. It's still important because it rings alarm bells about the huge danger of fascism and authoritarianism that would come with Trump's return to the White House in a moment when many Washington reporters are silent. This journalistic impotence was evident in two recent stories co-authored by the New York Times reporters Jonathan Swan, Charlie Savage, and Maggie Haberman. The first one, published last month, described Trump's promise to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Joe Biden as part of a larger movement on the right to gut the FBI, overhaul a Justice Department conservatives claim has been weaponized against them, and abandon the norm, which many Republicans view as a facade, that the department should operate independently from the president. The second piece by the same trio described MAGA plans to eliminate the independence of all federal agencies, including the Federal Reserve Board, and laid out Trump's plans to scour the intelligence agencies, the State Department, and the defense bureaucracies to remove officials he has vilified as the sick political class that hates our country. And of course, he's talking about people who've devoted their lives to Making Government Better. These two articles totaled 4,800 words, but included less than 100 words from anyone questioning the morality or legality of these plans to politicize the Justice Department and destroy the federal civil service. This single quote from Kelly was the only significant balance provided in either piece. Quote, "It would be chaotic. It just simply would be chaotic because Trump would continually be trying to exceed his authority, but the sycophants would go along with it. It would be a nonstop gunfight with the Congress and the courts," end quote. The Times reporters did not respond to an email asking why they thought 100 words of opposition to the MAGA agenda were sufficient to make their stories balanced. With that kind of laissez-faire attitude prevailing among too many journalists, books like Taylor's, which focus on the imminent dangers from a MAGA revival, are crucial to a broader effort to rescue American democracy. So that's a review of the new book called Blowback, A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump. And that is in The Guardian, guardian.com. Well, we are running out of time. I just want to get to one more warning. This actually is not a, it's not really a warning, but it tells how Bidenomics came to be and how it could survive from HuffPost. If Biden wants to finish overturning a Reagan-era economic paradigm, he'll have to convince voters it's worked so far. This was just posted a few minutes ago. It says, in late June, when President Joe Biden took the stage at the old post office building in Chicago to declare a fundamental break from the trickle-down economic paradigm that has ruled American politics for more than 40 years, he insisted the self-congratulatory name for his economic program was not his idea. Bidenomics came from the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times, Biden said. I didn't come up with the name, he said. I really didn't. Even if the name was unplanned, the fundamental shift it has come to symbolize was not. Bidenomics is the result of a conscious effort by the White House to undo a free market paradigm that swept into Washington with President Ronald Reagan's election, one that favored the private sector over the public, the financial well-being of the rich over the poor, the support of monopolies over small and local business, and the empowerment of bosses over workers. After 2 years of working to pass high-profile economic legislation and rolling out comparatively obscure new government rules, Biden is ready to take credit for what could prove to be a sea change in American politics and economic life. Say goodbye to Reaganomics and hello to Bidenomics. Bidenomics, as the president and his administration tell it, puts the government back in the driver's seat through the direction of industrial policy in key sectors deemed important to national and economic security, and it prioritizes worker empowerment and competition through the reinvigoration of labor unions and antitrust enforcement. Bidenomics could be a good thing. Seems to be working pretty well so far. What do you think? We've run out of time. Everybody have a great day. Make sure you're tuned in tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
This is my home. This is where I belong.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new stunning lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ancrute. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media app.
I'm Jim Ryan.